Praise the Lord. Revive us again. Revive us again. Hear the word of the Lord. You know, Almighty God has spoken to His people from the beginning of His creation. From the very beginning. He spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. He spoke to their children. Even Cain, the murderer, heard from God. God told him, sin's at the door. You need to resist. All of us can have and receive communication from God. We can receive it through His Word, the primary source today, and through the preaching and teaching of His Word. God also speaks to the hearts of His people and lets them know. Guides us by His Spirit who dwells within us. If God is with us, then who can be against us, the Word tells us. We look at this and we say, even after sin took hold of humanity, God continued to communicate with people. And He chose certain ones that were then called prophets to bring His message to the people. Ezekiel was one of those men that was chosen by God to speak to the people of God. God used him to reveal Himself as the God of their ancestors. He's the same today, He's the same yesterday, and He'll be the same tomorrow. God speaks to His people, and He asks that we would hear the word of the Lord. And that's why I chose this title this morning. And in this text that we're going to read, we'll find something truly amazing in that message of God. Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. And I ask that the God of our ancestors would open our ears to hear His word, that we would receive it with joy, with gladness, even if it cuts as a sword does. He speaks to us today. I ask that we would be revived by His breath as we listen, that we might live in the fullness of what He has for each of us. So if you will, open your Bible to the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37. And we're going to begin at verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning at verse 1. We'll read the first 14 verses of this chapter of Ezekiel. And I believe we're all going to be touched by the Word of God today. I've prayed for the Lord to fill this building with those who need to receive this message. And I believe He has done just that. That we might be revived by His Spirit. Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning at verse 1, and that's where it's written. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Then He caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, You know. And He again said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath into you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Trust that God will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. This is God speaking to and then through Ezekiel. Ezekiel was an amazingly obedient man who was a type of Christ. He was a picture of Christ. He was like Christ because he was obedient. And his obedience shows that he was like Christ. In the second chapter of Ezekiel's record, his book, we learn that God commissioned him to speak for God to the people of Israel. The message here in the 37th chapter, in the first 14 verses, is of God promising to return the exiles to their land. They were going to be brought back to where they wanted to be in their land. But in the second chapter, we learn that Almighty God had called them rebellious people, just as their ancestors had rebelled against God to that day. God sent him to these defiant and stubborn children. That's written in the second chapter of Ezekiel, verses 3 and 4. He told Ezekiel whether these rebellious people listen or not, and that's a key, they would realize that a prophet had been among them. No matter what, Ezekiel was to deliver the message. Whether they received it or not, whether they accepted it or not, whether they acknowledged it or not, they would know that God had spoken through this man. He told Ezekiel not to be afraid of them and the things that they would say or do, because they'd be like thorns and thistles and scorpions to him. They'd harm him. But Ezekiel was not to be afraid. He was to deliver the message anyway. He told Ezekiel, don't let the things they say frighten you. Don't be terrified in their presence. Don't be afraid, even though they're rebellious people. Deliver the message. He instructed Ezekiel to speak God's word to them, whether they listened or not, because they're rebellious. All preachers are given the same call to deliver the word of God, whether the people will accept it or not. Whether the people embrace the message or not, whether the people embrace the messenger or not, we're all given that same call to deliver the message. That's the call of God upon the man of God, whomever that is. Everyone called to speak his word receives the same charge. Do not be afraid of their words, nor dismayed by their looks. And I can't tell you how many times that I've spoken the word of the Lord as I'm out and about, and I see those looks. I'll tell you, some people really give you some nasty ones too, folks. They do. And yet, God says, don't be dismayed by that. You deliver the message because I give you that message to deliver. It takes extraordinary amount of courage, though. I can tell you that from my own perspective, doing it. One must be a true under-shepherd of Christ to endure those looks and even the hatred that comes against you. And each one of us, no matter who it is, we're given a charge by Christ to go into all the world. We're to participate in the furthering of the gospel. And here at St. John's, we do that in the giving to missionaries. But each of us has a personal responsibility too. The gospel doesn't just go out to somebody else to do the work. Each of us are called in some way, shape, or form to participate. Those whom Almighty God calls to profess his word must be willing to obey and share the whole message. Not just the part that feels good. Even the unseemly parts, the uncomfortable parts, and the objectionable parts. We're to give it all. Not those things that just make people feel good. That would be ear tickling. The Word of God's clear on that. The biblical record reveals it. It also shows us that persecution comes to the men of God who are absolutely devoted to giving His Word. You look at the apostles, they were all crucified or killed in some other way, martyred for the word of God. Those who deliver the whole message are often criticized and belittled and persecuted and chased off or killed. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Here we have obedient people who will stand between those enemies of the cross and the one that God has called to preach. I'm thankful to God for that, personally, individually. You know, we were all dead, but now we're going to live. We're going to live in Him. And I say, hear the word of the Lord, just as Ezekiel said. The passage that we opened with speaks of God's revival. As I said, God was going to restore His people to their land. That was the primary message. But there are other pictures there. There are other messages. There's symbolism. And that symbolism shows us. Ezekiel had this vision of dead and dry bones. That can mean, it can symbolize those who are dead in sin and trespasses. But it can also symbolize the people of God who are alive. It can symbolize those of us who are alive on the planet. We're dead in like the bones, unable to move, unable to do anything. We're locked in this valley, unable to do anything. And Ezekiel, as God said, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, God, you know. You know. And God said, well, now I want you to prophesy to them and tell them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is God's word to all of us. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Each and every one of us can be revived to new spiritual life as we live on this planet. Each one of us can be revived by the Spirit of God who dwells within us. Ezekiel gives us a fascinating look at God's work in His people. Fascinating look. God takes dead sinners from spiritual death to new life. That's a picture that we can derive from this passage. By God, those who are spiritually dead and dry like those bones that Ezekiel saw in the valley there, you can be revived to new spiritual life. Almighty God also promises His people revival from physical death. We get that same picture there. The resurrection of the dead. We see that picture in this passage of Scripture. Almighty God's going to revive all who pass from this life to the next. We're going to live forever with Him. The new heaven, the new earth. We read about these things in the New Testament. He tells us those who turn from sin to Christ will be brought into life eternal by the power of God. It's God's power that gives us eternal life. Like Ezekiel, we're commissioned to give God's message to the people. The whole message. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. This is good news. This is the good news of the gospel. Almighty God takes dead sinners and gives them new life. And then those that He revives with this spiritual life, then He takes and He uses throughout the world to build His kingdom. This is God's work that's done in His people. He said, Jesus said, follow Him and He'll give you life. It's good news. God loved us so much that He sent His Son into the world that whoever would believe on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You want to live? Hear the word of the Lord. If you want to live, hear the word of the Lord. You know, even when it stings or convicts you. God's love exceeds anything that we can imagine, and He wants us to live with Him forever. He wants our ongoing communication with Him. This is why we pray. This is why we have time in prayer to communicate with God and to listen. I was listening to a preacher preaching on revival, and he said, as he was coming up, there was a time in the service when they would stop everything for 2 minutes. The lights would go off, and they'd just sit there in silence to be still and hear from God. And sometimes when we pray, we do that. We just shut everything out and shut everything down and shut everything off and just be still and know that He is God. People of God have a long history of walking with Him, but then turning their back and walking away. God says He wants His people to be in intimate fellowship with Him. This is why He sent Christ to be the final sacrifice, that we wouldn't have to do this ongoing stuff religiously. The passage that we open with today shows God's love. It shows His desire to restore life to His people. It shows that. It doesn't tell it. It shows it. Does each of us want to be revived to new spiritual life? Do we want that new spiritual life that God offers? Because if we do, it's available to us. But I have to ask, are we just as comfortable as those dry bones lying in the valley? I hate to ask that. Because laying in the valley, we're as powerless as those dry bones with no way to do anything. Can't do a thing. And that's a sad state. Much of the church has fallen into, folks. Much of the church has fallen into this state of being like those dry bones, just laying there waiting for Jesus to come back. But you know what? That's not God's plan for us. God's plan is that we would be a living, vibrant body. And as I preach, as I was putting the message together, as I was reading this passage of Scripture, and I see that here's Ezekiel. He sees this valley full of dry bones. And as he's listening, he hears a rattling. And the bones suddenly start to come together. And God starts to rebuild them. And I see the body of Christ coming together where God is in control and He's ruling over that body. That's what I've seen as I've put this message together. And as I'm preaching here today, I can see God calling His people together and renewing that life, that spiritual life, that each one of us would be alive inside of ourselves with Almighty God ruling over our being and drawing us into a better fellowship with one another and with the rest of the world as we bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. This is revival. This is revival that I'm talking about. Not just, we're going to get it today and go home and do everything just like we always did. I'm talking about true spiritual revival where Almighty God brings new life upon His people. That's what I want to see for this congregation. And I believe it's possible. I believe that God's calling us to it. He led me here more than a year ago in preparation for this. I didn't know exactly when it would be, but I knew He'd let me know. Now's the time. Now's when He's calling us into this new life, this spiritual life. As Ezekiel spoke and heard, and God told him to prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Speak to the breath. Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. And I pray that God, the breath of God would come upon us, that we would live, that we would have that spiritual life, that we would pour that out into this community, and that others would come into the kingdom of God through us and the efforts that we bring forth by God's power in us. That's what I'm looking forward to. That's what I see. I can envision the seats in this place being full, and it's not just about this place. It's about Almighty God having His will and way in our lives, and that we would do what He's called us to do, that we would be His people. Doing what He wants, that we would follow His commands. The revival of God comes by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. Our hope's not lost like they said theirs was, because we have Christ. Yet we need to be revived, I believe, from our slumber. Instead of laying like those dead bones, dry and not moving, let's have life. Let's have life in this building. Let's have life in this community. Let us let this little lighthouse shine the light of Christ out, that others that are wandering in the darkness might find their way into that light. We're not cut off like they were, but I believe we must be revived by His Spirit if we are to be the living body of Christ drawing souls to Him. We need to put God first in our lives and let him put his Spirit in us in control. And we'll live and we'll know that God has spoken it and He's performed it. And as I wrap this up, I urge each of you to hear the word of the Lord. Hear what God has spoken to you today. Because no matter what I say, what comes out of this mouth, I know that God's speaking to your hearts. I believe that. I can't do this if I don't believe that. Because I believe God uses me to speak to you, because that's the only way He reaches you in a verbal manner at this point in time. Unless you put an audio Bible in a CD player and listen to it, or a cassette player. Can you hear the word of the Lord? Is He nudging you? I believe He is. I believe He's nudging each of us, me included. I believe if we're to be revived as individuals, it's only the breath of God that can revive us. I believe each of us can be united in the Spirit to do the bidding of Almighty God. I believe if we're to be revived as a church, that it's the same breath of God that's going to revive us. That we're going to be known for the love that we share, and it's the love of God that we share. As people come to visit with us, we're going to share that love, and they're going to feel that love, and they're going to want that love, because it's not our love, it's God's love, and it pours through us. We're vessels. We're vessels of God's majesty. We're vessels of God's grace. We're vessels of God's love. And we can share that with others. If we're to be revived, it's God that will assemble us and reanimate us to do His will. I believe that. Let's pray through the upcoming weeks. And I mean this sincerely, folks. Whether you can come out on Wednesday night or not, I want you to participate in prayer. Prayer for God to revive each and every one of us, individually and corporately, as a body. That we'd be revived in this community. That we would yield ourselves to His will. That we might be like Ezekiel, no matter what. Obedience. Let's pray for God to breathe upon us His breath of life. Let's be filled with His Spirit. And if we're to be revived in this community, and I believe indeed in this land, we must hear the word of the Lord that's written in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And many of you are familiar with this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, these are God's people called by His name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. This is in Isaiah chapter 57 in verse 15. This is Almighty God speaking to His people. To His people, not to the lost. He's speaking to His people. Contrite means to be sorrowful, to be remorseful, to be regretting the sin, not loving it, not embracing it, not holding on to it, not putting it out there and continuing in it. So I say, humble ourselves, each of us, in sorrow for our sin. And turn to God, and we can receive new life. Thus it is written, hear the word of the Lord. Now let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You that You can, and we believe You will revive us again. Lord, as Your word makes it so clear, You are willing. You desire for us to communicate with You. We want to be revived as individuals, Lord. We want Your breath to revive us. We want us to be united in spirit, Lord, to do Your bidding. We want to be revived as a church. We want Your breath to assemble us and reanimate us to do Your will. Help us, Lord, to pray. Remind us to pray throughout the upcoming week and the following weeks for You to breathe upon us Your breath of life. Help us, Lord, to yield ourselves to Your will, that we might be like Ezekiel, we're obedient no matter what. Help us, Lord God, to humble ourselves, to pray and seek Your face. Help us to turn from any wickedness that might be in our lives. Help us, Lord, and we know You will hear from heaven. You'll forgive our sin and You'll heal our land. Help us, Father. We know You dwell in the high and holy place. Help us to be contrite and humble. Revive our spirit, Father. Revive the heart of the contrite ones. Help us, God, to turn to You, to be revived to new life. No longer like the dry bones laying in the valley, waiting for the return of Christ. Let us be strengthened. Let us be rebuilt. Let us be restored. Let us be revived, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.